So turn with me in your Bibles, Luke chapter 24, and we will get there just a minute. But as you turn, Luke chapter 24, can you remember where you were at certain moments in life? There's just certain ones that stand out where you go, man, I remember where I was at. I can remember the moment during my freshman year of high school when word broke out that John Hinckley shot President Reagan. I just know exactly where I'm at. It's one of those moments. I can remember where I was at in my high school in Nebraska, and it just vividly pops to my mind. I think of when the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded 43 seconds after takeoff, and I remember being in my Greek class at North Central and going and somebody popping in from the hallway mentioning that the Challenger exploded, and you're just sitting there trying to make, really? Just the shock of it, and then watching the reruns of it later on. I can remember when 9/11 happened and where we were at, and Larry, because our district office in Waupaca did not, we could not get access to the internet because we were back in the old dial-up days. So we're trying to get updates, and everybody's overjammed the internet, so you couldn't pull anything up. And that office was so badly equipped, we couldn't pull, didn't have a TV antenna or cable run into it. So we were like, how are we going to get updates? So I remember I pulled alongside the building in my Speed the Light vehicle. Larry Leiby, who was the district youth director, he pulled his car up front. We rolled down our windows to our vehicles, turned our radios to the same, WTMJ out of Milwaukee, turned it to the same radio station, and we're just listening, blaring it, so that, and opening the windows in the district office just so we could hear updates of what was going on. Just vivid memories and just how it impacts your life. 2,000 years ago, Jesus made just a little news. Just a little. Just a little news that slightly, majorly impacted changing our world, in fact, changing lives. It was an announcement that it was game over for the enemy. It was an announcement that there's game over for sin, death, hell, and the grave. Who really rents a tomb? Just a question. Let that sink in. No, I don't want to buy a tomb, but I'll rent it for 3 days. And that's all that Jesus needed. And you're going, really? Check it out. Luke chapter 24, look at verse 1. And Stacy, I will need a bottle of water, if you could get me one. Starting off, verse 1, but very early on Sunday morning. Oh, thank you. Thanks, honey. Yep, no, you're good. That's all I needed. It's what marriage is, sharing. So thank you. That's all I needed. That's love, people. So verse 1, you'll remember this Easter, right? Dropping the ice cubes in the water baptism and sharing my wife's saliva. All right, verse 1. What did you have at church today? Yeah, it's a special one. Verse 1, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in. But they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." And then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb, tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe. However, Peter jumped up, ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. So what's amazing is these men didn't believe the women because it sounded like nonsense. But what they said was true. Moral of the passage, men, believe women. Sermon over, all right? That's all you needed to know right there. Listen to the women. But in 19th century, there was a famous preacher named Charles Spurgeon who pastored Metropolitan Tabernacle in London for 38 years, and he's often been considered or called the Prince of Preachers. And I've read many of his books, which is a compilation of his messages and writings, and they're really good. But I love this quote that's attributed to him basically when he's talking to others who will preach the Bible, he shares this great advice. He says this, "I take the text and make a beeline to the cross." And so that is the title of my message this morning to you, is to take a beeline to the cross. And what a great way to summarize Spurgeon's writings and sermons, but it's also a great reminder and advice to us, is that we need, in every situation, to make a beeline for the cross. If you need salvation today, make a beeline for the cross. If you need healing today, make a beeline for the cross. See, the resurrection of Jesus isn't something we just celebrate one day when we're wearing our Easter colors and our Easter clothes, carrying Easter baskets. It's actually something we celebrate every day in every way. Jesus just didn't die to make bad people good. He died to bring dead people to life. And that's what we're celebrating later in actually warm water. Just so our baptism candidates aren't wondering. It really is nice. But that's the exciting part that we will celebrate. So Jesus' death on the cross reframes everything. The word impossible has been deleted from our vocabulary. All things are possible. Nothing is impossible because the tomb is empty. The most impossible thing has occurred to make all things possible. So as we make a beeline to the cross, it's time that we begin to dream and celebrate what Jesus has done. Make a beeline to the cross. When our lives are falling apart, we make a beeline to the cross. Why? Because the tomb is empty. The resurrection of Jesus Christ reframes everything. So many times people would ask, but then why is life so incredibly, why is it, as a youth world speaker, why is it so stinking hard? Why is life so difficult? Well, look at John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." See, just as God has a plan for your life, so does there is an enemy, and he has a plan for your life. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to crumble your family. So when you're dealing with pressures at school, conditions at work, financial pressures, past addictions, here's the thing, the thoughts that keep you awake at night, and I love how the Amplified Bible shares this verse. Look at it, John 10:10, in the Amplified, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. See, Jesus came to make a way that we would have a life, to be able to enjoy life, to have life that's full, a life that's abundant, a life that overflows. But I'm not going to pull a punch with you today. We also are in a battleground between good and evil. That war is waging and raging. But the amazing part is, even though we fight that battle every day internally, and you feel it, and you know it, just know that that tension has been broken by what Jesus did on the cross. The Bible says we don't wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And I think, boy, as we get into this, we're in a dogfight with the devil. And God has set us free. And when we begin to hear so many amazing testimonies of what God is doing and changing lives here at Calvary, it's been fun listening to testimonies from our Living Free groups on Sunday and Wednesdays. It's really fun when you see God and his word come alive, when you watch people take new steps in membership, joining our church. I mean, it's really quite remarkable what God's done since the first of the year. All said, we'll be close when we receive new members here in the next few weeks. We'll be close to be 12 to 15 people joining our church just since the first of the year. And then this weekend, 9 people being obedient and stepping out in baptism. What a fun weekend to do it too, because it's all about what Easter Sunday is all about. it's all fun. It's what Easter is about, is lives being changed. I can remember one of the most humbling yet rewarding moments in a parent's life came to me quite a few years ago with my boys. I used to be really good at playing video games. Then my boys just killed me. And Grant and Garrett, I mean, they would sit right by me, watch me playing some of the different NFL games. NCAA football was awesome in its day. Hopefully they'll revive it soon. But it was one of those humbling moments because as you play video games, you know certain moves to set up another move. And so our kids are just playing, but then you don't realize you're getting set up as you're making certain player moves, as you're playing against them. But then they start to catch on, and they find out other moves that I didn't know. And they start making other moves, and all of a sudden, they have the advantage. And what's great about Easter Sunday is it's all about a moment that the crucifixion was really a setup move for a greater miracle. See, Satan thought it was game over at that moment. He thought he had set up Jesus. He's got God in the box. He goes, if we kill him, this thing is game over. But what he didn't realize is that God had ordained 3 days later, began the major move that brought victory in our life and complete defeat of death, hell, and the grave. It's a setup move. And see, God's been in the process even of making moves in your life to help you to be able to realize that he wants a relationship with you. And he is making moves in your life, even making sure that you're here this morning, either in person or online, to make sure that you're aware of how much he loves you. That he will make moves in your life to reveal himself to you. But ultimately, you have to make a game-changing move yourself. When I look back, I look at different moves that I made as God brought them, but I can remember back to May 13th, 1981. It was the very Wednesday night I invited Jesus in to lead my life as my Lord and Savior, right at the end of my freshman year. But I can remember late in my senior year when God used the passion of wanting to see my high school one to Jesus, that he began to turn that into a call for full-time ministry. So then I was all signed up to go to Trinity Bible College to play football and to continue that calling. But literally just months, God began to just stir in me, why are you going to play football or follow my call? And North Central had just started. They were the first of our Assembly of God schools at the time. None of them had a full-time degree that for people that wanted to pursue youth ministry. And so when I found out that they were starting it that fall, I began to have a change, and God began to work in my heart where he goes, are you all about football or about my call? And God began to set up a move, challenge me, which way am I going to choose? So then I followed God's move and led me to North Central, which then you never know when you're pursuing those steps that God would be setting up other moves that you'd have to make. Like bring a gal into your life. All of a sudden, that's where I met Pastor Stacy, and ultimately, I had to make a move. But really, she'll say she made the move to get the story straight. But we began to date, and really, a roommate tried to help set us up, and where the girls asked the guys out, but you know what? God was really setting things up. But then I had to make a move. I really like Stacy. It didn't take long, really, it didn't take long. She captured my heart. And I had to, she just knew she was the one I wanted to marry. See, God makes moves in our lives to direct us, but are we going to be willing to chase after him? And today, it's a reminder, Acts 17, verse 28, for in him we live and move and exist. See, we move. I know the game of life gets complicated. It throws a lot of different things and variations our way. But you need to know that when you surrender your life to Jesus, it's game on. When you give your life, it's not, oh, the fun part of your life is over. Trust me, being a follower of Jesus, things just only begin to get exciting. Because you'll watch God break free in your life. Just like 2,000 years ago, God made a move. Are you going to make a move this morning? So for those who are going to be water baptized, I encourage you to go get ready now. and go get changed, because this is a part where they're making a move this morning in obedience to God. But God has made a setup move. Are you going to be willing to respond to it? Look at John chapter 3, verse 16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. See, God made a move 2,000 years ago by sending his Son to die on a cross for all of us. All of our sin, past, present, future, all at that moment on Jesus, on the cross. Why? For you. Even if you reject it, even if you laugh it off, you need to know you could scoff it off, and Jesus' response would have still been the same. He would have died for the one who would be willing to follow, because that's the type of love that Jesus had, but it's also who reflected the love that his God had, his God the Father had for you. See, God is making moves to you and to your heart this morning. Are you going to be willing to chase after it? It's up to you. It's time for you to make your move. If I could have the worship team come. For this is how, look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. See, it's your move. This is the moment for you where you've got to, God has set things up so that you can step forward, so that you can invite him into your life, to let him lead and guide, not only just lead your life, but be your only route for salvation. It's up to you. I love the author, C.S. Lewis, and I love this quote that he shared. He goes, God cast his vote for us when Christ died at Calvary. Satan cast his vote against us, and we get to cast the deciding vote. So this morning, I pray that you cast the deciding vote. See, God's done his part. Jesus did his part. That tomb is empty. Are you going to do your part? God can't do any more. Jesus certainly can't do any more. But what are you going to do to respond to the offer that he has for you? I pray before you leave here this morning on this Easter day, the greatest decision you would ever make in your life is that Jesus be your leader and savior of your life. If you leave here today and know of nothing else, if you have not asked yourself, taken a moment to really reflect, have I done it? I pray that you will take a moment to make a beeline for the cross in your heart, in your life, to respond to the offer, because this offer is not about attendance at a church. It's not how well you dress. It's nothing. Although, Gary, you do look very nice. Makes me think of Michael Landon, Highway to Heaven. But one of the amazing parts is we all have to respond to God's move. And there's no shortcutting it. It's not trappings of what church you attend, although this is a good one. You just need to know that there's a lot of great churches that God has in our area. It's really more a matter of, are you going to trust in God and get him alone in what Jesus did and what he accomplished on the cross? The offer is up to you. You cast the deciding vote. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for people listening today, not only here but online. And God, I pray, we just know it's not accident that they're here. God, this is by divine appointment. And Lord, I thank you for those who are hearing this message of great news today. And maybe perhaps for the first time, or God, maybe they've been walking away from you for a long time. But God, I pray that you will let them understand and clearly see all that Jesus accomplished on the cross. That our sin is gone. There's no more separation between us and God. That if we invite you in to lead our life, God, you will clean our life. You will give us a future. In spite of how tough things may be, we have an out. We thank you, God. And God, we pray right now for those this weekend, in this moment, that that God, they will take a moment in this part to look at their heart and look at where they're at with you. So if you're here today and maybe you would know, you could answer straight up to me. If Jesus is the leader and savior of your life, if you know you're on right accounts with the Lord, praise God. But if you're here today and you have strayed and you know that things are not where they should be, here's the good news. God isn't looking down at you. He's not, you know what? He's not looking to pound your life. He's looking to love you and reveal a new life that he wants to offer you. But you've got to make the move. So if you're here today and you need to rededicate yourself for the first time, or maybe it's a rededication from a long time ago that you just need to, you know, you've walked away and you need to reaffirm your faith to him. If that's you, would you just look up at me? I'll just want to make eye contact with you and just to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, there's many. I want everyone to say this prayer with me. Would you? Dear Jesus, thank you for making the move to love me, to come near me. Forgive me of my sin that displeases you, that separates me from you. Come into my life. Be my leader and my Savior. I give it all to you. Do a new work in me. Give me new life. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so many of you that prayed that prayer. It's so exciting. So amazing. Would you stand with me? And as we go into a time of worship and get ready for water baptism, this is what Easter is all about, is there is no separation between us and God. For those of you that prayed that prayer, for those of you that know Jesus, at this point, there is no cap over you. We have an open heaven in relationship with our Heavenly Father. There's no barriers. So that as we go into this time of worship, right before we go into water baptisms, this is a moment we can celebrate not only what this day is about, but what God's doing in your life, because he's going to rewrite a story in your life that is so good. It's so rich. There's no end to it, to what he wants to do in and through your life. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do and are doing. We praise you. We celebrate you. God, we worship you. So, Father, as we continue into worship, we thank you, God, for this Easter day, that the job is finished. You rose from the dead, and you've brought us new life. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in the rest of this service. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.